Anytime we get together, consider God's Word, we always have one thought in mind, and that is, what does God want me to do with what I hear? I believe in the morning or night or noon, whenever you read God's Word on your own, that same question should come to you. Simply, what does God want me to do with what I have just noted from His Word? He is our instructor and wants to be just that. But not only is He an instructor, a director of truth, He's a great encourager. And He used the men of God, those that were directed to write His Word, to help us, to encourage us, to instruct us. And along the way, at times we're convicted so that we change, and at other times we're relieved to know that God is always there. And I trust that this evening, as you look into Psalm 121, that you will be encouraged by the fact that God is your helper. God is my helper. The Psalms 120 through 134 were specific psalms that were given, literally stated the song or psalm of ascents, or of going upward. These were used for folks, the Jews, as they were going on their pilgrimage, on their journey to Jerusalem for annual feasts. I'd like to begin right now reading the entire chapter and then come back and pointedly bring some thoughts from these scriptures. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. God, my helper. God, your helper. This past summer, our family had an opportunity and a privilege to travel, to be together, the six of us, and to go to my high school graduating class 30-year reunion. Of course, I grew up in Taiwan, and so to keep track of your friends from that many years ago, took some emails and some phone calls, and we agreed upon a site for us to go, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Well, to do just that required a lot of planning throughout the year. Not necessarily all on my plate, but just through emails back and forth and communication of how we were going to get together. When it got closer to us actually leaving, that was really the easy part. Because then you have to put together what you're going to take. And when our children were 13 years younger, when we first moved down here to Greenville, they basically took what mom and dad put in their suitcases. And so we could limit what they took. I've never quite accomplished that with my wife, but with the children, I was able to decide what they took. Well, at this stage in their life, they pretty well chose what they were going to take. And so that, again, took a little while to put everything together. Fortunately, we had a vehicle to put things inside of, and we had a car roof rack and a car top carrier to put things in as well. Again, some preparations and some planning went into us going down to Fort Lauderdale. Then, with that in mind, we were able to basically, because of where we live here in the United States, leave whatever time of the day we wanted to leave, arrive there whatever time we wanted to. 12 hours, 600 miles, wasn't too difficult. From our perspective, it was. It wasn't just we were there. You've all been there. I see knowing smiles when it comes to going on vacation. Because you know what it's like prior to leaving. Again, a lot of planning has to go into your departure because you have to have everything ready before you leave. And then, while you're away, things do occur. Things happen. And so when you get back, you pretty much have to get caught up to speed and hit the pavement running. So all of that together made for a very special week, but it took some planning to go and some planning to come back. It took some travel, took some organization. Picture with me now, though, if you would, the people, the Israelites, these people who had to travel
to Jerusalem, the males 12 years and older had to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year. Specific feasts that they were encouraged because they could go and be taught of the Lord. But even more than being encouraged and taught by the people there, the feasts that they went to observe were commanded by God for them to go. Picture some of these feasts. You have the Passover feast. These folks did not go through what some of their ancestors had gone through to know that God had allowed their son or their oldest to be able to be preserved. You think about the Pentecost, the harvest, or the feast of the first fruits, and how God always brought to harvest for those who were following him. There was the tabernacles or the booths. And in this feast, of course, was an opportunity to look back to the wilderness wanderings and then ahead to the millennial reign of God. That in and of itself, going to Jerusalem 3 times a year, if you could drive your car there, would already be difficult enough. But these folks were only on foot. And so if you were to imagine you lived in Bethlehem, you had a 20-mile walk to get to Jerusalem. Well, if you were to walk at a very rapid rate, a determined pace, you would probably take about 15 minutes to walk a mile. So you can just imagine if you were to try to go for 20 miles, you probably weren't going to walk a straight 5 hours. You'd take some time for some refreshment to ease your aching feet, perhaps. But then what happens to the people who live a little further away, perhaps Beersheba? They were 60 miles away. That would take them at least 3 days to walk to Jerusalem. Others lived in Lebanon and, of course, all around, 110 miles. I mean, can you imagine they would have to walk that distance? Now, it's not just them deciding to walk that distance that was all part of that, but they had to pack their family. What they were going to take had to more than likely go on a beast of burden of some sort. You put someone that lived that far away, takes almost a week to get there. 2 of these 3 feasts lasted at least 7 days in duration. And then the time they would go back, there was quite a commitment that these people made to going to observe the feasts at Jerusalem. And although it was a great trip going down to Florida, by about the last 3 hours of the trip, when are we going to get there? How come it's taking so long? These people didn't have the luxury of a vehicle that kept the elements out. They were walking and they were on foot. Humans just like you and me, and I'm sure that by the end of the second or third day, after having walked at least 16 or 24 hours or maybe even more, they were getting a little weary, a little discouraged. These songs, these psalms were what they sang. They sang internally to themselves, they sang corporately to the group to encourage one another in what God, in this specific case, was able to be to them. Now, all of these psalms were the same idea. They were a psalm or a song of ascent. That's actually a musical term to share going up the musical line or down. But in this case, it had to do with going up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem itself, in its size, not necessarily how large, but was 2,500 feet above sea level. Some of these areas, outlying areas where people would come from, were even like 1,200 feet below the Mediterranean Sea or the sea level. So not only were they having to go a distance, but they had to climb. And they were tired probably by the time they started that climb. So you put together that preparation to go on this trip. You put together the elements that undoubtedly were part of traveling and walking. They needed some encouragement. Fast forward to 21st century Christianity. We may not be taking a hike to Jerusalem, but I'm sure there are certain times in our life, perhaps even since 8 o'clock this morning, that some difficulty may have occurred, entered into your life, and God's word can speak to you. And I trust that we'll do just that this evening as we continue on in looking at Psalm 121. First of all, I'd like to begin with verses 1 and 2. Looking at what God has said here is, as our helper, One great way for us to remember He's our helper is He is our Creator. He is my Creator. The Creator is someone who makes something out of nothing. To make something out of nothing is incredible. And that is, in this case, who we are considering when we have a difficulty. The first part says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. We already said that Jerusalem was up high, 2,500 feet into the air. In and of itself, it was quite a foreboding city. There were actually mountains, five different mountains that pretty much made up that city. And so as they looked up to travel there to Jerusalem, where they needed to go, where they wanted to go, they were excited seriously about going to these feasts. They wouldn't be going if they weren't. As they look up onto these hills, the next phrase says, well, from where does my help come? Even in this day and age that this was written, the people worshipped mountains or gods that would be placed in those mountains. You've traveled here in Greenville or in South Carolina where you see Caesar's Head or you see different mountain ranges. And that's pretty impressive. But notice they go on into verse 2 as the psalmist writes here, not necessarily David, but the psalmist that's writing this song says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Almost as if he's qualifying that statement. I'm just not talking about a God. I am talking about the God. And this was sung, and I'm sure it wasn't sung just one time. But it was sung to encourage one personally and sung to encourage those around them. It is special to hear our congregation sing. It's special to hear our family sing. And as you do, you are sharing worship with one with another. You're encouraging one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And here, the psalmist, the songwriter is saying, note these hills. But more importantly, note the God of these hills. That's what's so impressive. The God of these hills. My help is coming from Him. When you are feeling slightly overwhelmed or tremendously overwhelmed, when some discouragements have just come your way, uncertainties are before you, from whence comes your help? Do you look for that self-help book? Do you go to that seminar? Oh, that support group? Well, more than that, more importantly than that, the songwriter says, go to God. He's so much better than any book or group or some sort of study that you could do. Go to God. He's your Creator. He knows exactly where your weaknesses are. He knows exactly what can strengthen you. He knows what will be of assistance. He knows what you need. Don't go anywhere else. Don't look to something else. In this case, don't look to the hills. Don't look to those gods. Look to God. In verses 3 and 4, the songwriter continues and says, God, in this case, will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. God is my sustainer. A sustainer is someone who supplies with necessities or nourishment. They bear up under. You've heard the phrase, he sustains quite a work pace. Or perhaps to an athlete, or perhaps to someone who's working toward a certain goal. Before they get done, they have sustained, they have maintained, they have continued. And God gives us the necessities to be exactly what we need here. Notice as he says there, he will not let your foot be moved. These people, when they traveled from whatever city they traveled from to go to Jerusalem, a majority had to at least travel over some mountain, through some valley. If they came to a body of water, they had to somehow ford that stream. Undoubtedly, they probably couldn't travel at night. One, they were tired, and two, except for the moon, there was no light. And their feet in sandals could very easily slip, could very easily be hurt, could very easily get off track. And here, he will not. God is not going to let your foot be moved. And it's not just a God is not going to, but the God who never slumbers. Interesting, in those two verses, three times the allusion is made to sleep and that God does not. Basically, God who never slumbers means God is never unaware. He's always prepared for what we have as our need. And if he's always prepared for the needs that we have, we simply need to recognize and trust that he who keeps Israel keeps us. If he was sustaining them, he can sustain you. Don't allow the discouragements that our world brings your way to keep you from understanding that God then is the most real to you. At times, he's not always as real when we're going through great events. But when someone has a surgery for the eighth time, when certain circumstances may be in your life that you've endured for repeated occasions, that sustaining grace is so wonderful to go to. And it's so encouraging to reflect back on what he's done to bring me to where I need to be today, to get out of my doldrums. Again, these travelers needed this encouragement. When you're concerned about your health, perhaps your physical needs, your watch care, even your job, certain family members or friends or difficulties that you're encountering right now, when seems to be the time we worry the most? Not probably when you're working and being involved in a daily chore, but before you go to sleep or if you wake up during the night. I believe God here would want us to be remembering he never slumbers or sleeps. So turn it over to him and then turn over and go back to sleep. He is there for you. He is there for us. Why do we hold on to these things? Let's follow what the children of Israel, what they did here is they recognized he doesn't let my foot be moved. He's going to sustain me. He's going to protect me. He never slumbers. Third, we recognize that God is my keeper. In verses 5 and 6, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. A keeper, you've heard this terminology before. Joseph was the keeper of the prisoners. He was the one that watched over, he was in charge of, he took care of. Perhaps in today's sports world, you hear of a goalie is called a keeper. They're to protect the goal mouth and not let the ball come in. And so if you were to evaluate a keeper, literally here, God is the one who keeps me by his hand. It says, in the shade of his right hand, we are kept. And it's interesting, he talks in these two verses about the sun and the moon. And remember, these people had to travel through the day, had to sleep at night out underneath the stars. Anybody who was a thief, that was the easiest time for them to pray. Pray as in come upon them. Anytime there was an animal that was out, they would be available and avail themselves to perhaps to some food or people that would be there. And so they were always on the lookout. Probably somebody always was having to stay awake while the others slept. And yet here he uses that statement, by moon or by sun, God will protect you. And there is a shade that is stated here. He keeps us by his hand. He's a shade to us, protecting us from the ills that are out there. And as we're protected by day and by night, I trust that we realize that those ills that we're protected from, our God is keeping them from us. Now, there are those times that more than likely some ills have come your way and you've had to endure those ills. Sickness, job reversals, circumstances that were totally beyond your control. And yet through those experiences, God gives you the opportunity to be kept by his hand. He will shade you. He will keep you not necessarily from the harm of having to endure that, the emotional harm, the difficulties that you go through. But he keeps you so that you are better as a result of what just went through your life. And what we want to make sure we're doing as believers, as children of our God, is to trust in what he's doing. At different times, we may be, hate to use the word frustrated, but we are. At times, we are scared or hurt. And God doesn't take away those difficulties. He gives us the strength to go through those difficulties. The children of Israel still had to walk that far to get to Jerusalem. They still had that sun beating down on them. They still had the moon. They still had the ills of the night and the heat of the day. But God was protecting them through that. Now, of course, I'm sure they didn't have umbrellas quite like we have today. I'm sure they didn't quite have fans and different of the same niceties and comforts that we have. But God wasn't speaking specifically to how hot or how cold the day or the night was. He was speaking to the fact, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to keep you. Previously, he had said, I don't sleep. Now he says, I keep you. And we want to make sure we appreciate that. And we rest in that. Then finally, in the last two verses, God is my reliever. Verses 7 and 8. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Here, he's speaking specifically the fact that God doesn't let anything separate us from God's blessing, his goodness, and his purposes. God will not let anything keep you from his blessing and his purpose. It may not be what was on your agenda. It may not be that you really wanted that to happen. But it's not being kept from what God wants for you. And often I'm afraid we consider answer prayer is when he says yes to what I want. But God saying no and strengthening you through the trial is one of the best things you and I ever could go through. We would lose out on the blessing if we were kept from the obstacle. Endure that. Enjoy what God has as a result of this experience. Go back in your life and remember the last time you went through a struggle. And what did God do as a result of that? He strengthened you. He made you what you were to be. He made you what you are today. And appreciate that fact. He keeps your going out and your coming in. That's basically all of life's events. God keeps you. He protects you. He's there keeping you from the evil. In other words, Satan is not going to have any ability to move you off course unless you turn yourself over to the devil. If you choose to sin, that's your choice. But God has a special means in which to keep you. He has, as your creator, given you the strength to say no. And at this time of the song, I'm sure they're weary and they're struggling and they're trying to get a little further along, and they simply say, you know, let's not worry. God keeps us. God protects us, the going out and the coming in. What is your relief? I know, I'm sure it was years ago, there was that commercial about Rolaids, and it said, how do you spell relief? But, you know, I'm afraid today sometimes we medicate ourselves for relief. And I'm not saying if you have a head cold, if you have some trauma that's entered your life, but I'm afraid people just take medicine so they can go to sleep, and then they just take medicine so they wake up. They take medicine so they don't feel so bad. These struggles that I'm going through, I'll take this and it kind of masks it. Go to God, who keeps you from all evil. Don't medicate. Allow God to use that to specifically help you. Some people let out their frustrations by hitting something or kicking the dog or whatever the other circumstances might be. I just can't handle being around people anymore. I got to get away. Our relief is God and God alone. Where do you go when you need relief? Oh, can't wait for that next vacation. Can't wait till I have a free day. Can't wait till I stop having all these circumstances come my way. Actually, one of the best things you can ever have is a busy life. Because then you go to God a lot more. David goofed in his life when he left his responsibilities. These pilgrims realized they could goof by stopping their pilgrimage. No, let's not stop. Let's sing. Let's be encouraged. Let's move on. As you and I trust God, our Creator, as you and I trust God, our Sustainer, our Keeper, and our Reliever, let's be encouraged by the fact that God wants us to look to Him for our help. If you'd like, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, or it'll be displayed on the screen as well. I'd like to read a few verses to you that I trust will just solidify and be a challenge and encouragement to you. In 1 Peter 5, 7, of course, the New Testament reiterates so many of the truths that the Old Testament has brought out. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. If you don't cast your care upon Him, you're failing, you're sinning, and you're actually keeping your own life from having one of the most joyful experiences is turn it over to God and then rest. The next verse I'd like to give you is Psalm 73, verses 23 and 26. As we evaluate where we are, who do we go to for our counsel to get us back on track? You, as the psalmist says, will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. My flesh and my heart fail. What a truth this is. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The strength of my heart. You've heard the term heart sick. And that happens on occasion. What do you do when your heart's sick? What a blessing it is here to know that you go to your God, who's your portion. John 16 and verse 33. The last part of the verse reads, "In the world you will have tribulation." We know that, don't we? In the world we'll have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So we're planning on having tribulation. You're not going to get away from that. But guess what? The tribulation is already going to be conquered. Maybe not right this minute. You may have to endure those people, those temptations, those struggles, just a little longer. But eventually God has overcome all of that. And then finally, Romans 8 and 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Similar to the first part of the verse, where do I get my help? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a promise. How are you tonight? How are you living? Are you living in the joy of knowing that God is your helper? You wouldn't be here if you weren't. But I'm sure there are times when God's word can be a reminder, just like it was to these that were traveling to Jerusalem. Let's sing that song one more time. Let's remind ourselves that where does our help come from? I knew it, but it's so nice to sing it. God is my help. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for what You've done in and through us. What You've done in spite of us. And I pray that we would enjoy the privilege of being Your child. Because in Your hand, You watch over us. You shade us. You protect us. You sustain us. May You bless each individual here tonight in a specific and special way. Help us to take Your word, apply it to our hearts, to either be encouraged by, changed and challenged. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.